Our gospel reading for this morning is Mark 4, 35 to 41. On that day, when evening had come, Jesus said to his friends, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took Jesus with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" This is the word of God for the people of God. Amen.
Well, this morning we are continuing in our sermon series, a sermon series we're calling, "Who Do People Say That I Am?" It's a sermon series where we are looking at the different ways people interpret Jesus in the scripture. We've talked about Jesus as a teacher, Jesus as a prophet. Last week we talked about how the Pharisees interpreted Jesus. They said Jesus was they said he was a drunkard and a glutton. Which, of course, makes sense because the Pharisees had a bit of a rivalry with Jesus, so you would expect them to not think so highly of him. But what happens when the people that think lowly of you are not those who don't like you, but are those closest to you? What happens when it's your own disciples who think the worst in you? It's a question we look at this morning in this story. But before we look at this question, will you join with me in a word of prayer? Have thine own way, O Lord, have thine own way. For you, O God, are our potter. We are your clay. Amen. Well, on April 23rd, 1956, the famed Christian author C.S. Lewis shocked his family when he announced to them that at the age of 58, he was getting married for the very first time. Lewis was a lifelong bachelor. No one in his family ever expected him to settle down. He himself never expected to find someone to marry. But then he met an American woman named Joy Davidman, and all that changed. You see, Joy Davidman was one of C.S. Lewis's biggest fans. She was an avid reader. And 2 years earlier, she had written to him, and they began corresponding across the Atlantic until soon they became fast friends. In 1956, Joy Davidman decided to move to England, and C.S. Lewis agreed to marry her, not because they were romantically involved. Instead, he was doing it, he said, because it would help with her immigration into the country. From that point on, the two were inseparable. Now, what started out as a simple platonic friendship soon developed into so much more. C.S. Lewis said, "She was a splendid thing, a soul straight, bright, and sharp as a sword." And so they fell in love. They traveled together, they laughed together, they worshiped together. It was beautiful, it was perfect. And then Joy Davidman was diagnosed with bone cancer, just 6 months after the wedding. Now, the story goes, C.S. Lewis stayed by her hospital bed day and night waiting on Joy. He prayed for her. He prayed for a miracle. He prayed for hope. At one point during their hospitalization, one of the local clergy people in town came to the hospital to visit the Lewis family. The pastor wanted to offer some words of comfort to them. And so the pastor went in the room and said to C.S. Lewis, "Sir, we have to trust that God knows. We have to trust that God knows what is going on in this room." But in his moment of despair, C.S. Lewis simply looked up and said, "Oh, God knows. I know God knows. I believe God knows." But does God care? Does God care? That is the question, isn't it? The question we all ask ourselves, does God care? Does God care about what it is that's going on in my life? Does God care about all of the things I am struggling with now? Does it make a difference to God? God knows. We know God knows, but does God care? "Teacher," the disciple said, "teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Those were the words spoken by the disciples to Jesus in the middle of a boat, in the middle of a sea in Galilee. As the storms raged all around them, the disciples accused Jesus of being uncaring. That's who they said he was. They said he didn't care. Can you hear the heartbreak in those words? Can you hear the betrayal in their voices? After all, the disciples had sacrificed everything for Jesus. They had left behind their entire life to follow Jesus. They had left behind friends and family and jobs to be with him, and they didn't ask for anything in return. But where was Jesus when they needed him the most? Where was he when the storm was raging? Well, he wasn't there. He was asleep. "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" You can hear the heartbreak, can't you? Did you know, according to the aid organization UNICEF, there are 153 million orphans in the world today? And that 805 million people are going to go to bed hungry tonight, and that every 10 seconds, another child dies of a preventable disease. Oh, God knows. We know God knows. But does God care? C.S. Lewis asked. Did you know 350 million people are depressed in the world? Just hearing that statistic makes a person depressed. Did you know that our country alone spends $200 billion on its prison system, and that 20.9 million people will be caught in human trafficking just this year? "Teacher," the disciples cry out, "do you not care that we are perishing?" It's that same question we ask ourselves again and again and again. Does God care? A theologian by the name of David Ford once said, "We live in the age of overwhelmedness." It's an age where no matter where we go, we can't help but feel overcome by all of the storms around us. Every 24 hours, there's a new tragedy on the news cycle. Every week, it seems, someone else is diagnosed with a disease that cannot be cured. And whether we acknowledge it aloud or not, each of us struggles with that same question: where is God in any of it? Does God care what's going on in the world? Does God care about all of those struggles we've been having? Does God care about all of those sleepless nights where our heart continues to break? Does it matter? Does it matter? As you can hear the heartbreak in the question. Well, I can't help but think about a story pastors tell of a young boy who prepared a clay picture for his parents one day at school. The boy had worked tirelessly on this piece of art. It was a mixture of clay and painting, and he wanted to present it to his parents at parents' night at the school. The boy was so eager when his mother and father came that night to give him the gift. He presented it to his parents, and his smile tested the very limits of his cheeks. He was so excited of what he created, his parents were excited for him. After the event was over at school, the boy went skipping off to the car. But there in the parking lot, he was caught up in his youthful exuberance, and he tripped, and he fell, and he shattered his creation on the ground. The boy instantly dissolved into tears. Well, the boy's father tried to comfort his son. The father said, "It's okay, son. It doesn't matter, son. It's okay, son. It doesn't matter." But the boy's mother fell to the ground. And she began picking up each and every piece of broken clay. And as she did, she kept whispering to her son, saying, "Oh, it matters. It matters, son. It matters greatly." "Teacher," the disciples cry out, "do you not care that we are perishing?" And in that very moment, Jesus stood up. And in that moment, he rebuked the wind and the waves. And he said, "Peace, be still." And there was calm. Now, Jesus was not indifferent to the suffering of those who cried out to him. Jesus did not remain asleep in the boat. Instead, he heard their cry and he responded. There in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, Jesus stood up and he spoke a word of peace to them. "Peace," he said, "be still." There was calm. See, we're all faced with storms and challenges in this life we do not choose. And when the storm comes, it comes violently and it comes suddenly, and it leaves us feeling overwhelmed. But God says, "In the middle of the storm, I will be with you. In the middle of the storm, I will speak a word of peace to you." And why do I do it? Well, God says, it's because you matter. You matter greatly. Can a mother forget the baby at her breast or have no compassion for the child she has born? Isaiah asked. "Neither will I forget you," God says. "I'll give you strength. I will give you peace. So have faith." Jesus says, "In the midst of the storm, have faith." Bishop Will Willimon tells the story of visiting one of his church members one day who was in his last stages of a battle with cancer. Hospice had been called in. Bishop Willimon went to the man's bed, and while sitting with the man, he began by asking the man a question. He said to the man, "Tell me, are you afraid?" The man said, "Afraid? No, sir, I'm not afraid." He said, "I know that I have Jesus on my side." Bishop Willimon said, "Well, yes, we all have that hope that our future is in God's hands." He said, "My future? No, sir." He said, "I'm not hopeful because of what I think God will do in my future. No, I am hopeful because what I have seen God do in my past." He said, "I just think about everything I've been through in my life. I think about all of the struggles in my life, those times I've gone astray, those times I've gotten lost, wandered. And God has always been there to bring me back again." "No, sir," he said, "I'm not thankful because of what I think God's going to do. I remember what God has done. So am I afraid of what I'm facing? No, sir. God has brought me this far. I just don't think he's going to let a little thing like death stand in his way now." How can a mother forget the baby at her breast or have no compassion on the child she has born? God says, "No, I will not forget you." So have faith. Whatever storm you're facing today, have faith. Because he hears your cries. and he does not remain indifferent. Instead, he stands up and he speaks peace. Because you matter. You matter. You matter greatly. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen. Will you pray with me? Loving God, we thank you that even in the midst of the greatest struggles of this life, that your compassion overflows for us, and that we are not left abandoned, but instead you are there, speaking your word of peace. So grant us, Lord, that great shalom, that peace which passes all understanding, and help us to be a people of faith, where we have not seen, that we might live our lives as a beacon of light and hope for others. For Lord, we offer this prayer in the name of the one who still calms stormy seas, Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.